Richard Durst.
Richard Durst, yes.
Durst.
I turned the mics live a little before I should, but it's okay. It's okay.
Okay.
We can talk over Queensryche and Jet City Woman. That's the Seattle sound to me, kids.
Woo!
Not the grunge. Not the grunge. Yeah, we're live.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, relax. We got Jet City Woman playing.
Okay.
You're like, how do you know that song? This was from, I believe, this summer when I first got into MTV. Believe it or not, songs that contained guitars once were played on that. Music, period, was once played on MTV.
Yeah, exactly.
This was in heavy rotation.
Who was the one MTV guy that was there forever? Kurt Loder.
There's Kurt Loder.
A great last name.
Which, yeah. Was Kurt Loder the MTV news guy?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. There's Kurt Loder, and then there's like Adam something or other, and then there was John. Who was it, John? He looked like a creepy Irish kid toucher. And I'll bring that down fast, because I don't think we have the rights to that music, so.
Yeah.
God damn it, what was his name?
Well, and then there was, of course, Carson.
That was years later.
Oh, it was.
I'm sorry.
We didn't have
any... Stop acting like you're 8 years younger than me. And, like, Carson Daly was part of your childhood routine.
He was. I used to come home and watch TRL with the girls.
God damn it. Hold on. John Norris. That's it. John Norris.
Oh, yeah.
John Norris looks like a vampire. Oh, my God. Oh, he's creepy as hell. Look at this guy. Oh.
That's who I thought Kurt Loder was.
No, okay, that was John Norris.
When I said Kurt Loder, that's who I pictured.
If you just put like a middle name, like if we just called him John Stephen Norris and I showed a picture, you'd be like, oh, he's definitely a serial killer.
He's that serial killer.
Yeah,
right?
How many people did he claim?
John Stephen Norris.
John Stephen Norris.
Skin his victims alive.
Oh, God, what? Oh, there's a chick who's on the first episode of Peep Show. This is going so deep. No one watches Peep Show. It's
Peep,
a British show. And there's a girl who in the very first episode, one of the protagonists gets confused and thinks she has cancer, and she's wearing a stocking cap the whole time. That second picture of him, when you Google him, he looks like that woman. Fetching, really.
Why is he so sad in that picture?
He did the most painful video introduction that I ever heard in my life.
What video?
It was Ozzy, Mr. Tinker Train.
Okay.
Off of No More Tears. It was one of the later videos. And I think it's about a kid toucher, if I recall correctly. And he's just chilling. He's like,
I'm laughing at that. Yeah, kid toucher. Huh?
Kid toucher.
Hilarious.
Who can't see the humor in that? And he's like, this is Ozzy's Mr. Tinker Train. It's about a child molester. And if anyone ever touched my kids, I'd kill him. And then it goes to the video. I have never seen anything more awkward in my life. And I've walked in on my parents. It was so bad.
Walked in on your parents? Just hair on hair?
No, my mom's hairless. My dad's a beast. I got my dad's DNA when it came to that. Let's do the show intro.
Okay.
Folks, it is Papa's Basement. One of these days, I'm going to get it rebranded as the Papa's Basement Show.
Oh.
So it sounds a little less spooky. But right now, it's just Papa's Basement.
Someone please help me.
Yeah.
I'm in a basement right now.
If you want to know how poorly it's branded... When I used to put Google AdSense on the website, Google's little logarithms or whatever would sniff out based on like the title what the ad should be. And I used to just get like home repair ads.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I sound like a basement fixing company or something like that. Yeah.
So, or kid porn. Sorry.
That's all right. That's all right. That's the worst thing we'll say today.
Right.
So it's Papa's Basement, Papa's Basement Show, whatever you want to call it. I'm John Papa Georgia, the host. I'm joined by, are you employed enough where we can't use your name anymore? Or?
No, let's do it.
All right. Joined by Ava.
Eva.
Eva Crickson. Show's website in papasbasement.com because I have never been able to secure Papa's Basement away from the lovely Ohio lady who owns it.
Okay.
It's true. I finally managed to get a hold of the titular Papa of the website.
I did not know this.
Oh, yeah. It was purchased I'm not joking. I started the show, I believe, August of 07. It was purchased early that month, start of August of 07. And a lady wanted to sell her father's items. And God forbid you just use eBay.
Yeah.
God forbid you do that. She made the site Papa's Basement.
Oh,
which has sat fallow for over 7 years.
What's her name?
Oh, I don't remember, but I've called the number a bunch in the last year and kept getting a hold of Papa, who was a lovely older man who would just keep talking and talking to me. And the last time I called about a month and a half ago, he was like, I'm not feeling so well. And I'm like, I hope you feel better. And he simply said, oh, that's not going to happen. Like, he was on his way out, and I was so creeped out, I've dropped it.
Oh, my God.
And because now I'm going to call, and she'll pick up, and she'll be like, Papa's dead. I'm keeping that site forever in his memory. Like, I'm never going to win this now.
No, I did not know this. This is fascinating.
That is the actual Papa's
base. What kind of stuff does he sell?
Nothing.
World War II. Did he get the Luger that he got from a Nazi in World War II?
I took this off of Jerry. I scalped a Japan man in Okinawa. Here's his pelt. just looks like the wig of Larry from the Three Stooges. Because every Asian person
looks like,
had the bowl cut.
The Nimoy wig, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why Papa's basement is not mine.
I had no idea. That is really, really interesting.
Yeah. And I will probably never get it back. Never get it to begin with.
He has a single tear rolling down his cheek right now. No one can see it.
Like Iron Eyes Cody. Or like Johnny Depp in Crybaby.
Yeah.
I can go deep with the single tear references.
Yes, you can.
I got both of them.
I got all two.
So, yeah, that's why you can hit me up at inpapasbasement.com.
There we go.
And somehow I believe this broad probably took papasbasement@gmail.com. So that's why you have to hit me up at inpapasbasement@gmail.com. But @papasbasement on Twitter is mine.
Oh, great.
We got that. And facebook.com/papasbasement.
It's coming up, Milhouse.
Yeah. So Eva. Fine. Why?
You want me to be Eva?
No, you're like my first girlfriend who was Jessica, except she spelled it because she was like a little kid. G-E-S-S-Y-K-A.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Jessica.
She might as well put like an umlaut over the Y.
All right. I'm Eva. Or nice to meet you guys.
Or just forced me to write it out in a stylized manner using the striper font.
I feel like if I say Eva, my voice just drops automatically.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Eva.
It's already deep enough.
Deep dude voice.
Yeah, I know. Kathleen Turner here.
Oh, God. Oh, Kathleen. Is there anything worse than what happened to Kathleen Turner?
I know. That was a big fall.
You watch her in Body Heat, but even
Romancing the Stone.
Yeah, I was going to say War of the Roses.
Ooh, yeah.
Sorry, I'm just realizing that my mic was insanely jacked up. Someone had pulled it off of its little holders, the little rubber bands that keep it in place. There, all better. I'm probably a little louder now. Talk again.
A little bit louder now.
Who doesn't? The Negroes took our dates. What?
John, this is a political show.
That was Otis, my man, who sang that in Animal House. I'm just quoting a movie.
That's
just
true.
Quoting a movie.
My parents went to see that on their honeymoon.
Really?
Yeah, they went to Rehoboth Beach. And
is that the gay beach?
Yeah, I think they lovingly call it Rehomo.
Okay.
I'm serious.
No. You're like, no, my parents are bigoted. Darn it. You stamp your fist. No, that's not the point.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine.
I think that happened years later. My parents have been married a long time.
I'm going to talk about a visit to Seattle.
Okay.
If you think gay people are coming up in that ruxpin of mine, you are sadly mistaken.
Seattle. I could live there.
The Windy Apple. Yeah, so shall we get to it?
Yeah.
And if we have time after my Seattle tale, we'll talk about other things.
Okay.
Like Robert Durst, who we just randomly mentioned, and Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Unbreakable.
Which we have both watched the hell out of.
Oh, yeah. I binge watched that. I binge that.
Not only do I hate the way you're saying it, I hate that term.
I know you
there
do.
There has to be something better than binge watch. Because binging is followed by purging, always. It's not like you then go in the bathroom and crap out all the shows you watched, and you're like, I forgot them now.
I know you hate it because I listened to our podcast from last week because I'm completely narcissistic.
I'm so the opposite.
I know. You're like, I don't want to hear my voice.
No, why would you?
I like skip around Greenbrier with it.
The
like,
only thing worse would be footage of me having sex, which would turn me off to sex, period. I would see that and I would be like, what is that bear doing to that girl?
Why is the bear hurting that girl, Mommy?
He won't stop hugging her.
He won't stop hugging her.
I can't. That is the worst. Like, anytime I've ever filmed myself, the camera.
You filmed yourself?
Yeah, when I was like I went through a phase where I wanted to document what I did. Like, once I wasn't hooking up with unattractive women, it was like, hey, I kind of want to remember this. Maybe I'll show it off.
And
you know, with your friends, you're just sitting around. You're like, oops, I'm sorry. Was that the, did I accidentally upload that to the DVD player? Did it just start playing photographs of me getting head because we paused the screen for 3 minutes?
Oh my God. That would be amazing. Now, I mean, I'm just picturing it. I've known you so long, but like now that we're doing these podcasts, I'm learning so much more about you.
Pause Predator and go and mix some drinks for the boys and
guys.
Come back and you're like,
come back in dancing. Like,
yeah, who's
I don't know why you'd be dancing.
Girth is between those lovely bosoms. It's mine.
It's mine.
Riddle solved.
That's my man beast.
Did I upload the one photo that makes me look at least average in size? Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, no, there's a time once I mastered the art of getting with okay looking broads.
Yeah.
Where I just got my little digital camera.
Okay.
Because I had to upload photos to MySpace
right.
to look normal so MySpace. I could bang more girls off of MySpace.
Right.
You know, this, like I said, it predates your phone having any sort of camera.
Yep, that's true.
I don't even think cameras, they would brag if they were 1 megapixel on a phone.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm so young. I've only had an iPhone.
Shut the hell up.
Kurt Loder, who's that?
Yeah. You Motorola Razor and Fossil. Get out of here. Yeah, so you had to buy a digital camera. It was just an investment in getting laid. Like, I went out and got my $200 camera and just took pictures of me in a bar with, like, my arm around girls. And suddenly I didn't look like a skeevy guy who only had pictures of himself with other guys. I looked safe. So
yeah.
Then you could flirt with girls on MySpace, and they'd be like, well, other pretty girls, let them touch them. Okay.
Okay.
And that was that. It snowballed.
Yeah, MySpace was good to you.
MySpace was great.
Yeah.
When Facebook replaced MySpace, I cried. Because MySpace, I think you could just search for people in like a 5 or 10 mile radius.
You could?
Maybe you could search by zip. I mean, I use something to find girls close
something
to me.
Something to find girls.
Up. Yeah.
Okay. That kind of is like, what is it? Tinder?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tinder. Oh, what about Tinder?
That's like, isn't it the website where you can find people?
It's a little app where you find people based on a radius, yes.
Yeah.
And it can go up to 50 miles, or no, it can go beyond that. But when I found my chick, I had it at the 50-mile mark, if I recall.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Just far enough away.
Yeah, exactly.
Is she a Tinder girl?
She is.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. That app, which was supposed to just be Grindr for straight people. I love
that's
when
right,
people...
That's right,
Grindr. I love when people think that works or that's even a thing. I'm like, I'm sorry, our... sane women in the mix, then you're going to work for sex.
Yeah.
You're not going to get it immediately. I know you want to believe that, little college kids. It's not how it works in the real world. The instant a girl gets away from an entire peer group that are just like, I drag so much and I blow so many guys. The instant that isn't her peer group and she works with people and she can't say that to them without immediately being demoted.
Right. Judged.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's a scarlet A for you.
Harlot.
You're such a harlot.
The sex requires work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's a good thing. It's a bad thing.
Oh, it's a good thing.
Is it?
Don't you think?
I am going to quote you off air from last week, and you can correct me.
What did I say?
You said, and I quote, if there were no STDs, I would be such a whore.
Did I say that?
You said that, and I replied, and you'd be doing the Lord's work. Because I mean it. Because we should live in a world where
my dad heard that.
It's just tossed around like a frisbee.
Yeah.
Where it's like...
I did say that when, as we were... Now I can remember.
You just got into the car. Like, yeah, the just... second thing you said. It was like, hey, how was breakfast? I'd be a turbo whore.
Well, can't do it.
No, you can't, because you're... It's going to look shredded. It's going to look like Jupiter's eye down there, but all over.
Well, now it's just...
I mean, I look at pictures of STDs sometimes online.
Do you? I have to.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
Like, I've heard this before, that up until the 70s, when they figured out how to invent a medicine that treated herpes, it wasn't even considered a thing. Like, you just kind of got it. The same way people view lip sores. But I've seen what it looks like down there, and I'm like, how was that not a thing?
Yeah,
is it like back in the 1900s when like you had 8 kids and 6 of them died? And you're just like, whatever, bring on the baby coffins.
Yeah.
bring out those adorable little coffins.
Those cute little coffins. They're cheaper.
Yeah.
And they used to take those post-mortem pictures, like where they made the people look alive.
Oh, Wisconsin Death Trip.
What's that?
It's just a picture book of like how crazy life was back in like the mid 1800s, and it's just pictures of dead babies left and right.
Yeah, but they try and make them look alive. Dead
Ned Beatty's.
Yeah, they like prop them up with like their alive like siblings. Have you seen those? They're so
it's just holding a little toy.
Yeah, and they're like holding it up like why are they making us do this,
holding a toy plane, and it's like, that hasn't been invented for 100 years. Wah. What's going on?
Yeah, it's creepy.
Yeah, it's not good. But that was it, just an accepted norm. I absolutely don't get that, because if I ever got that on my giant, I'm not saying I don't have it, it's just never, if I have it, I'm one of those like Typhoid Mary types.
Oh, it just never
it
appeared.
Never came out. Yeah, and like anyone I've ever had sex with has never called me back and said I suddenly have herpes.
I'm so. Sure you're clean as a whistle.
Yeah, that's all a test you really need.
Yeah,
no one's called me and said I gave them AIDS either, so
you jerk.
The healthiest guy that's ever walked the street.
HIV.
Yeah, so I went to Seattle, and I would never think to go to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend likes smoking pot a lot.
Okay.
She loves marijuana.
Yeah.
So my last two destinations, vacation-wise, have been Denver and Seattle. Well, Washington, technically, but
yeah,
I was in Seattle. I said that like Denver was the state.
Yeah.
Like, I named a state and a city, and people would get confused. And then dumb brain realized Denver is a city. God damn it, I'm stupid.
No, you're not.
So, it was... It's a very different way of life out there.
It's all legal. Everything's legal in Seattle?
I mean, not everything, but pot. Pot-wise, it's all is legal, yes.
And you can smoke outside? Like, Are there weird, like, D.C. laws? Because now D.C., I don't really understand all the laws in D.C.
The law is, if you're doing stuff but you're black, they'll bust you. It's not that common.
Okay.
Yes. The cops will still be horrible to you if you're black and following the dictates that wouldn't get a white person in trouble.
Got it. Jeez.
I learned that in law school. As far as I can tell, if smoked on private property, nothing happens.
Got it.
And you can carry, I don't know what the amount you can carry is, but I'm guessing it's at least like an ounce, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 2 ounces.
Right.
And you can also have oils of various kinds. She bought this weird, this is what drives me nuts. She bought like a $70-something bottle that was like little bum Thunderbird flask sized.
Okay.
Like, they can't even afford the fifth of Thunderbird, like just a little wee bottle of bum wine.
Yeah, it looks like a big, like...
It looks
a
like...
A big flask, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, if you were fancy, it'd be a flask, mm-hmm. but it's actually just a glass bottle.
Right.
Filled with the MD 2020.
Ugh.
And she bought that filled with this weird... It was like, it had honey, but also a red pepper in it. It was some kind of weird flavoring that also had THC.
And you cook with it?
The dirty hippie broad who sold it to us, who had the hairiest arms and biggest hands I've ever seen on a woman.
Ooh, sexy.
Her face was okay. It was very confusing for me.
Okay.
It was very...
You didn't know how to feel.
Yes. Yeah. Like, if I could have tied her to the mast of a ship, she would have been great to get
just
things done
out.
With. Yeah, exactly. That would have been fantastic.
Yeah.
The instant she used her 14-inch minute bowl fingers to untie the ropes and then, like, embraced you in a big man hug.
Ew.
With, yeah, her clinger levels of body hair.
The mitts.
Oh, she looked like Jamie Farr in terms of the actual hair levels. I've been watching so much MASH on Netflix. I was itching
to pull out
one
because
of those.
You brought it up. I started.
It's good, isn't it?
It's really funny.
It is very solid.
Yeah.
But she sold that and she was like, "Tell me what you cook with it, guys." And my chick immediately was like, "What?" You know, thinking like, "What do you mean cook?" I think she thought she was just getting...
She was going to drink it?
Like a little...
Powerade?
Yeah, exactly. Which they have that in Denver. They have pot-infused sodas. Like, you go in and you get...
Jesus.
Like a Powerade. Exactly like what you're describing. And it's carbonated and you sit there and then you have 12 hours of utter terror because people don't understand how powerful edibles are.
Right.
Like, wasn't there a reporter that went out there and bought and consumed an entire chocolate bar filled with pot? And for 16 hours, like, she thought her soul was dying inside her. I mean, you're supposed to eat, like, one little Hershey's square of that crap.
Oh, wow.
And she was just like, meh, candy.
Yummy.
Yeah.
Chocolate, chocolate, chocolate.
Just killed it.
It's Kathy. Kathy goes to Denver.
You reference Kathy a lot.
I love Kathy.
That, she stands alone on that one, lady.
That's me. That's my life. I'm a Kathy comic.
So you have, like, big frightened eyes and squiggly lines coming out of you?
No one can see it.
As you look all frazzled?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was Seattle time for me from late Friday night until early Tuesday morning.
Okay.
And the first thing I noticed was just getting on the plane. And I immediately turned on Seattle based on one guy that I saw on the plane.
What happened?
And we're just going to call him Captain Seattle.
Okay.
Captain Seattle had, like, long, curly hair. He was like a 6'2" strawberry blonde lad.
Ew.
Vampire white.
Okay.
Scraggly facial hair, like Chris Cornell in Soundgarden hair.
Okay.
Like, especially the beard, just that wispy, like, you know he might have, like, a little thing above his belly button, but otherwise, and maybe a little, like, Friar Tuck hair.
Ew!
Around his areolas.
Like a concave chest.
Yeah, that little concave, sickly, you're responding to your cancer treatment well chest. And he was, what annoyed me so much was how much effort he put in to looking dressed down.
I know.
He was wearing a flannel,
mm-hmm.
but it was an immaculately, like, sleeves rolled up just so flannel. And then kind of like a, you know, Dan Aykroyd, Great Outdoors, almost fishing vest on top of it. And then, like, a loose bandana, but again, at the perfect length from his neck.
Yeah.
He looked like a goddamn golden retriever come to life with that stupid thing around his neck. He had a carry-on bag, which was like a leopard's print with, like, purple kind of in the mix, almost like an LSU type bag.
Actually, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds cool if you're, like, a girl.
Yeah. Well, I am. Last time I...
But I think he was trying to be, like, the snazzy musician.
Because
mm-hmm. that's how I describe musicians. I was born in 1912.
Snazzy.
A little snazzy jazz, well, Negroes.
You said I was dressed like a longshoreman today.
You are. You've got a vest that has padding in it that wouldn't let you sink if you fell into the river.
That's right.
And you have a stocking cap. And you're wearing a hoodie.
I have nothing
that
on.
That either makes you Trayvon Martin or a longshoreman. Take your pick.
Trayvon.
If you're holding candy and tea, we'd have our answer.
Oh,
but
my God.
You're not.
So Captain Seattle pissed you off.
I just saw him, and I was like, yeah, I hate when guys put that much effort into their look. When you're a guy, and especially when it's a dressed-down look, but I know this ass was in a mirror for 30 minutes, like, my bandana isn't at a jaunty enough angle.
Mm-hmm.
Just dicking with a bandana, for God's sake.
I like it.
Oh, I saw him and I was like, if I land and it's a sea of him,
it's going to be,
we're flying back.
It's a whole city of Williamsburg Brooklynites, basically.
Yes and no.
Yeah.
I'll describe it and then you tell me
okay.
if it is Williamsburg Brooklyn, which
okay.
I've only really heard about on Girls.
Right.
So I know I wouldn't like it.
Okay. You would not.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'll
you
take that
You would not
wager.
Like it. I can tell you that right now.
So we land at like, God, what would have felt like 12-ish to us on the East Coast. I think 9:30 local time, something like that. And we get our car. And before we go to, my girlfriend has booked us a bed and breakfast, which I didn't really know what that meant until this vacation. I was just like, it's a place to rest my head. I didn't pay out the ass. It was something like $450 for 3 nights.
Oh, that's good.
That is not expensive.
No.
And I was just like, who gives a crap? It's a bed and breakfast instead of a hotel. She booked it because it was listed on like, you know, a pot friendly website.
Okay.
And again, God bless my chick. That plays a lot in her life.
Okay.
Like visiting places she can legally buy pot, staying at places where they don't care if she smokes said pot.
Okay.
To her, that's a vacation.
Right.
I mean, I only wish my vices could be so out in the open.
Okay.
Like, I wish we could take a trip to Nevada
and go
outside of Vegas where it isn't legal.
Go to the Bunnyland Ranch.
Just go to the B&B at the Bunnyland and just, you know, sink several $100 into hookers.
Into Air Force Amy.
Yeah, and then I could sext other broads while we're doing it. I wish my vices were as readily embraced as pot has become, but they're not. So instead, I have to look at internet porn, carry on like the brave little soldier I am.
You are brave.
Mm-hmm. Christ-like, practically. So we land, and thankfully I don't see a ton more like this douchebag, enough where it's noticeable.
Okay.
It's definitely more than we would see out here on the East Coast, but I can live with it.
Okay.
I don't feel like I've flown into the middle of Pearl Jam's Jeremy video. So we're good.
At home, drawing pictures.
You listen to that singing 20 years later. It's about as fresh as Sophia Loren in Grumpier Old Men. You're like, what was I thinking?
Oh, I love that
what
song.
What was I thinking?
Anytime I meet someone named Jeremy, I call them Jeremy Spoken.
I mean, the best part is near the end where he's just going, hey, 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 and then that breaks into, whoa, right, 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 right. You listen to that. It sounds like a man who was shot in the desert by a Colt 45, and these are like his last words. After
arms raised in a free.
Oh, it's horrific. I mean, you could laugh at the fact that Queensryche's Jet City Woman was a big song about 23 years ago. But 21 years ago or 22 years ago, Jeremy.
Jeremy.
That was huge.
Spoken.
The kids who are now listening to Anaconda by Nicki Minaj 21 years ago, these were the people buying. Oh, God damn. You can crap all you want on pop music. It wouldn't have at least let that junk slip through the gates.
I like Pearl Jam.
Oh.
I had a friend when I first moved to New York that had just moved from England.
Uh-huh.
And he was super into Pearl Jam. And I think that it had just gotten to England because he was like, have you heard of this band called Pearl Jam? They're amazing.
I purchased the Vitalogy album.
They're amazing.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. God, Pearl Jam.
Hi, there were one of those acts when I was a kid. Right when they came out, I was starting to get into metal.
Okay.
But I gave them a pass because I was like,
everyone else is doing it.
Hate them.
Yeah.
And then, then I got into good stuff. Then it was listening to Slayer. And I was like, I'm sorry, is Pearl Jam talking about the SS or Satan or Ted Bundy? Then I'm bored.
Slayer, Jesus.
God bless. Satan laughs as you eternally rot. That's music. That's music. So the chick who did like almost all the planning on this one. And I'm not saying I did that as like a passive aggressive maneuver. I'm just not a big vacationer.
Okay.
If you're like, John, what would make you happiest in life? First, I would give the Conan the Barbarian answer. And I would say to crush my enemies, see them driven before me, and hear the lamentation of the women. But no one would get that reference. And then I would say I want my show to do well. Mm-hmm. I would like my writing to take off. I want my career to achieve something.
Okay.
Or at least I want to make some money and not work hard for it.
Right.
Like, going somewhere is, like, so low on the priority list.
Oh, yeah.
But girls love it. You're never going to meet a broad who isn't like, just get away from here.
Yeah,
every so
I
often.
Like to travel. I just don't have the money to do it, so.
Yeah, I you know. Poured my coin like a, you know what.
Oh, did you finance the trip?
Did you finance? Is that what you said?
No, I didn't. I didn't mean to if I did.
I heard a soft J.
Did you finance the trip?
Or I guess I would have been a hard J. I helped.
Okay.
She did her flight, and like the first night there was like in some suite. And then I did the car rental, my flight there, the other nights, and like all the food.
Oh, wow. So you did.
I mean, I did about, I would say, 75-80% of the costs.
Right.
Something like that, yes.
But she's a youngin', probably not making...
She is so...
Probably not making too much,
not only
dough.
That, she has to spend $200 on dope once there.
Well, that's a necessity.
Exactly.
Once you're there, I mean, that's why she flew there.
She's got her Mr. Spicoli dope money. What are you people, on dope?
On dope? Hey, Mr. Hand.
Our time. So we land and we get our car. I pick up the new Elantra because I had an old Elantra. I'm like, let's see what I missed out on by buying the Civic, the moneyed model.
Brought to you by Elantra.
I upgraded and I was like, let's see how the other half is living. It was a fine ride.
Yeah.
And we drive down to this what's supposed to be like an all-night pizza shop.
Cool.
And we learn the first night. A hard and fast lesson of Seattle. The parking is more miserable, and you'll never hear these words come out of my mouth again, more miserable than it is in D.C.
No way.
It was hellish.
Wow.
Everything has this weird... All the streets in the city are parking monitored between noon and 6 a.m.
Jeez.
And you get 4 hours if there is a spot, though, so it's long enough that anyone who's out for the night just leaves it. So once people got their spots for the night, you're effed. You're screwed.
Yeah, there's nowhere.
To an out-of-towner like me who doesn't have a parking pass, it's not long enough for me to get a full night's rest. Because in theory, I'll park at like 10 at night and then set an alarm for 2 in the morning. Ugh. So that the fuzz doesn't ticket me. And then I move my car, and then hopefully they don't hit me up again at 6 a.m.
Yeah, right.
So fun.
Oh, it's so really fun, Seattle.
And then there are little spots in the middle of all of these stretches of the 4 hours from 6 a.m. noon crap,
mm-hmm.
where it's actually a sign that says 3 minutes offloading people only.
What?
So you're driving.
It's a kiss and ride, basically.
Block to block, and you see an open spot. And you're like, heck yeah. And then you pull up and you get shemped. It's a 3 minute only dump off your bitch and go looking for parking boy spot.
That is so dumb.
It is so frustrating. I mean, I hadn't gotten a chance to piss yet. I'm just looking like I'm hungry. I've been on a 5.5 hour flight. I sat like a goon 2 hours before that in the airport.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time. I'm looking to get a little food and get the hell to my bed and breakfast. The bed and breakfast. So we finally find a spot. Like all of my years of circling like a predatory bird for parking in D.C. pay off.
Yeah, and I get finally a spot. Paid off.
Yes. And I'm treated, by the way, to a girlfriend who's really nervous about parallel parking. So as I parallel park every time during this vacation, I hear like... Ugh! Like someone getting their first colonoscopy.
That's Eddie Vedder getting his first colonoscopy.
Yeah. So that's a treat too.
Oh.
And we finally park. We see some little shawarma a food truck about a block away from the pizza place, but she's like, I love shawarma. So we get these dumb like I don't know. I got like fish tacos or some crap.
Mm.
I think she wound up getting a chicken taco because there was no shawarma on the menu, even though it's right on the side of the food cart. Riddle me that one. And while we're sitting there, I realize I am not very, I'm not as liberal as I think I am.
Okay.
We'll put it that way. Like, in the grand scheme of the D.C. metro area, I'm somewhat left of center. Not wildly so. Like,
you definitely are.
Well, I like abortions. They're great.
Abortions for all.
Yeah. No miniature American flag. No, just the abortions.
Just the abortions.
Abortions are cool. And I don't like locking up black people just because they smoke weed. Like, I think that's pretty shady.
Got it.
So I guess that makes me somewhat liberal. And I, you know what? I like gay people getting married if they want to do that.
Why not? Let everyone be miserable.
By Seattle standards, I am a white cop in 1964 holding a German Shepherd, holding a fire hose, and spraying a black kid in the face as he tries to integrate a school. I mean, maybe I'm just not used to having gay people all over.
Okay.
But after about the fifth lesbian couple that looked like two Oliver Hardys holding hands, I turned to my chick and I'm like, not that I mind. Is this the gay district, though? And she was like, not that I know of. And so it just looked like a bunch of, I think I want to say the lead singer of Imagine Dragons, like the two gay men holding hands like that.
I don't know that reference.
Just whatever that new haircut that looks like a kid going off to World War One.
Okay.
Is that's popular, where the sides are shaved and then you got a little on the top.
Yeah, a little on top.
And then you're wearing flannel and you have the beard and they're holding hands. And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
And then just like I said, squat lesbians who I didn't want to make much eye contact with because they looked like they'd suck out my teeth.
Yeah, right.
If I did, I'm like, well, sorry, lady.
Sorry, ladies.
Yeah. So in the midst of all that, we're sitting on the street on a stoop eating our fish tacos. And some kid who fancies himself tough on the West Coast, I guess, which is just an adorable notion because...
West Coast tough.
I mean, this place felt safe to the point. This is one of the cruddier areas. Like, I would have put out a sleeping blanket and just sat there and not thought two seconds about it. Maybe I would have gotten robbed by a junkie. No physical violence would have come to me.
No.
And this kid, I guess, didn't... Well, of course he doesn't know who I am. But I was painted as I sat in a hoodie with God knows what fancy sauce smeared in my goatee because I eat like a cat with wet food. Just my face in a bowl and then my tongue making the rounds cleaning my choppers after I'm finished. He's like, what, you guys can't eat hot dogs or anything?
As we're, what?
I guess that was, he was commenting on the elitism of us eating our little fancy tacos.
No.
And I was so close to just taking the one I had in my hand and throwing it against the back of his head and then just beating the F out of him.
Really?
If anything happened. Because I was in a foul mood between the parking and just holding in a piss like that was going to come out darker than apple juice at this point. Like, you know, when you just held it in too long.
Yeah, and it gets...
And it comes out and there's no relief.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it comes out and it almost hurts more. And then 5 minutes later, you have to do the rest of the story. I was just in a bad mood. And he was just a skinny little white kid.
I don't understand that insult at all.
Me neither. Like, yeah. I guess we were hoity-toity eating fish tacos from a food truck. But I was just like... Dude, I come from a city that actually has some balls. I will kill you.
Right.
I will kill you in broad daylight in front of everyone and, broad dark night. That's not a word.
The Chantilly. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
No, I spent my childhood in D.C. following my dad. Like, I remember working with him when crack was still a thing,
mm-hmm.
when he would have to get paged to go to a job. And we would go into phone booths that he wouldn't let me use because there was an eighth inch of sharps.
Oh, geez.
Every night. And he had to wear shoes thick enough that syringes wouldn't puncture his feet.
Yeah.
So daddy wouldn't get the hivy.
Yes.
That's where I come from.
Right.
And was exposed to that from a very early age. Do you know what the next closest city is? Baltimore. You heard of it on a little show called The Wire. I mean, to me, Seattle was a play toy.
Yeah, it was just like a little... I didn't
feel like 3 a.m. I was strutting through the industrial areas. No one cares. No one's really going to hurt you.
No.
It ain't do or die, Bed-Stuy.
Steph's the belly lived in do or die, Bed-Stuy.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That was, I would not walk around her neighborhood at night.
No.
No, not at all. But Williamsburg, it kind of sounds like Williamsburg, what you're describing right now.
It just, and it was this kind of eclectic, I don't really want to say eclectic. It was just white guys with an Asian mix in there as well. But they just all looked like kind of hipster douches.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word.
Can't you guys eat some hot dogs?
Yeah, what a diss.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but that young man doesn't know how close he came to a bite the curb moment. I was in a foul mood.
Just an American history X.
I mean, compared to those skinny little pukes out there, I was an A-plus alpha silverback. I could have, cracked some skulls and been carried around on a litter for the rest of my
silverback.
Trip. Oh, my God. God, I wanted to impose prison rules. I wanted to just punch
martial
someone.
Law.
I just wanted to punch someone and be like, fillate me. Because that's what guys like me can order you to do. Even broke. So we call it a night. We eat our fancy lad tacos.
Mm-hmm.
Privileged boy.
Privileged boy.
We eat our fancy tacos, and we drive to the bed and breakfast.
Right.
And this is where I get intimately acquainted with just how bad the parking in Seattle is.
Oh, no, more?
We get to the Bacon Mansion. I want to make sure to put that name out there, because you never want to go to the Bacon Mansion. Oh, mother F the Bacon Mansion.
That was the name of the bed and breakfast?
Yes. And breakfast that serves a vegetarian breakfast. Despite being called the Bacon Mansion, not that I'm one of those hipsters that I don't really like eating pigs. They're really smart. I got a friend that clued me in on that. You're pretty much eating a dog.
Oh, don't say that.
They're smart as hell. You're eating something that obviously has a soul, if you want to believe in souls. I don't, but I would feel guilty putting, in essence, a dog or a cat through that existence.
Right.
Only to be then killed so I can eat its corpse.
A vegetarian breakfast. Well, don't you think it was called the Bacon Mansion? Wake and Bake?
No, it was spelled like bacon.
Oh, it was?
It wasn't like B-A-K-E hyphen O-N with then a winky emoji next to it. in parentheses. Yeah. Get it afterward. No, it had lots of pig statues in it. I guess they thought that was cute.
Okay.
And the owner... Because a bed and breakfast, I guess, is owned by someone. They have this establishment in their name.
Mm-hmm.
He left a key outside along with a note explaining to let ourselves in and what time breakfast was served.
Right.
There was a little U-shaped horseshoe in front of the building that could accommodate 3 cars. All of those spaces were taken.
Oh, my God.
So then I start driving at, again, what feels like, at this point, 2:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Our time.
You're exhausted.
I'm beat. I've been on a 5.5-hour flight. I was in, again, the airport 2 hours before that. I did some stuff earlier in the day. You know, it has been a long
haul. And you
got
hot dog dissed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was also hurt deeply by my masculinity.
Yes.
And we circle in, again, a rain that started as soon as we got our rental car and exited the rental facility. In a rain, I'm not exaggerating, we circled looking for parking for 45 minutes. Didn't come upon any. At this point, I just pull up, I take the key, get in there, and there's some guy who's just chilling in the ground floor of the bed and breakfast, supposed to do. Oh, no. God forbid the owner be there.
Right.
This is where I really start seeing red. Not the hot dog diss, but this is where John gets into a very foul mood to the point the girlfriend starts getting scared.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I physically threatened her. Well, I did later, but in a joking way.
Yeah. I mean, she probably deserved it.
Well, she did because she picked this place and obviously knew about the parking situation. The dumb bitch. I'm kidding about that. In case she's listening and the sarcasm passed over her head.
Yes.
I don't blame you. How would you have known this? So I'm losing it, though, because I own a business.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going through my head is, how sloppy are you that you don't address the parking situation? You can't explain where your customers can leave their goddamn car for the night.
Right.
In your little note, you mentioned when we can get our crappy little muffins in the morning. Glad you included that. Oh, and you told us when tea was in the morning, an hour before that. Yay. I'm glad you got the most important crap out of the way. oh, wait, you skinny little puke. We're from the East Coast. We got a car. We didn't bike to your essie little mansion. We need to park our little gas guzzler that's making all the smog that irritates the eyes of your precious dogs in your stupid dog city.
You're getting mad now, and it's making me laugh.
I'm so pissed.
Just so, talking about it.
I pull in, and I walk in, and I mean, again, in the red. And I see this guy, and I'm like, hey, do you own this? What's the deal? Are you staying here? And he's like, I'm friends with the owner, but I have a car in the driveway. What's up? And I explain the parking situation. I'm like, well, there's no parking on the streets, and there's no parking in the horseshoe.
Mm-hmm.
And his first response, I guess this is the laid-back West Coast way.
Ugh.
Well, then, I guess you're F-bombed. And I was like, at first, like, when he thought he was being cute with it, and I was just like, old man, I will kill you with one of these goddamn pig statues. It will, like Clockwork Orange, where that bitch gets beat to death with a dill, you're really close to getting it from a pig. If that's what you want for your obit, fine. Keep pressing the buttons. I've gotten much angrier now that I'm off my samey, my little mood enhancer. And now I'm on St. John's wort, which keeps me from wanting to kill myself, but it does nothing to keep me from getting angry.
Yeah, that I take one every morning. It does nothing for me.
I'm taking like six a day.
No, oh, you are?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. I am eating those dirty little craps like left and right.
And just like candy.
Yeah, I mean, I just every time I shove something in my mouth, I'm like, should I take a St. John's too? And so far, again, it's kept me from sitting on my bed for 6 hours straight with tears in my eyes.
You are a St. John. We just had a moment.
Yeah. Moment of dead air. So his next response is much more helpful. He's like, maybe I can move my car so that you can get enough space to park. And he comes out and he's taking really what looks like a one car amount of space. And to this gray haired mustachioed man's credit, he spends the next 10 minutes in the rain going back and forth. And back and forth until he's got, I'm not exaggerating, 3 inches from the side of his car against like the brick wall.
Okay.
That encircles Bacon Manchon. And he gets out. I park. Maybe I got 4 inches on the side. Like I can open the door enough where my fat ass can squeeze out the driver's side.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm getting drenched with the rain that has collected on the car.
Yeah.
My girlfriend can escape. But on both sides, if it's more than 6 inches, I'm a goddamn liar.
Right.
And I'm thankful to this guy.
That was nice.
He went above and beyond.
Yeah.
But the entire time, what's going through my head is, so this is how you run a business.
Right.
Like, are we really the first people who are coming from out of town who encountered zero parking late at night? I was livid.
Yeah.
So we go to bed, and my chick, the first night, we weren't able to get the same room all 4 nights. So the first night, we go to some suite.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's huge. We barely get to enjoy it. We're there, like, until we pass out, and then the next morning, we wake up and bag our crap, and they move it to our next room. We get there. I am in such a bad mood. Like, I'm talking to myself, almost.
Oh, jeez.
Like, I'm just like, how do you run a business like this? F in parking, F this, F that. And mm-hmm. She's like, can't you just enjoy the vacation? I'm like, I don't get too mad at her, but I want to be like, I'm the one doing everything here.
Right.
You can enjoy it. You mm-hmm. sat in the car while I sweat blood and tears. And, you know.
Oh.
So
that sucks.
I'm livid. And she tries. She's, you know, doing her womanly best. She's like, how about I use my mouth? Use the mouth to calm things down. And maybe this will make me sound a little less masculine. I think it makes me sound like all man. But because I'm maybe a violent Greek. I'm like, I am too angry for that. I am so angry. It is all my blood is in my fists and in my clenched jaws. It is as limp as a skin tag right now.
Oh, wow.
And she...
I can't believe you turned that down.
Oh, yeah. And she... I cracked up because she was like, well, you seem so angry. I thought I'd be all up and agitated. And that imagery made me laugh. But then I just got pissed. And then, again, to sound like an angry gay child, To calm myself for the rest of the night, I pulled out my new Nintendo 3DS and played Mario. And I was like, just let me do this because otherwise I'm going to be mad all day.
Right.
And so we do that for a bit and I pass out. And again, God bless my chick that she's down for that. I view it as like my junk has been sitting in my jeans for 6 hours.
No one wants to go down
there. You shouldn't. Yeah. I'm like, what's wrong with your nostrils? Are we going to, if I have babies with you, are they going to be smell blind? What's wrong?
What's wrong with your nostrils and your dignity?
Yeah, exactly. Don't you know better? Look at me. You put your mouth there? Ew.
Ew.
Exactly. I thought you were better. Any club that would have me as a member, right?
Right.
So we wake up the next day at like 6 a.m. because we're on East Coast time.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
And tea is served in the landing at 7:30.
I imagine you like Vito on Sopranos when
rolling
he goes
over for Johnny Cakes.
Yeah, Johnny Cakes. But when he actually like gets beaten up by Johnny Cakes and he has to endure the bed and breakfast.
Oh, a dirty fighter.
Yeah. Hey, dirty fighter.
Wait, what is the bed and breakfast scene? Is that?
That's when he like after he gets beaten up by the dirty fighter Johnny Cakes. And he can't go to the diner to eat.
He drives by.
Yeah, and he's like sitting with all the people in the bed and breakfast listening to their talk about covered bridges. And he sees Johnny Cakes ride by all masculine on his motorcycle.
God.
Your food? It's delicious.
That was my life.
You were Vito.
I was Vito for three plus days.
You were Vito at the bed and breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I needed to say was, like, I love you, Johnny Cakes, and then a big manly hand would go on top of my own, and I would be entered in a way most foul. A manner most foul. So we have our dumb little room tea. I even give my chick the one I wanted. Like, I have to pretend, like, oh, they all look good to me, but there was one little orange jasmine. I'm like, maybe that'll cheer me up. It's orange. Orange is my favorite. Yeah. Of course, she goes for it. I'm like, God damn it. And then
the one thing.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, we'll take my green tea so I can piss all day.
Yeah.
So I can drive around needing to piss.
Yeah.
Thanks, babe. Thanks, boo.
You're so angry.
And we get downstairs. You know, I sit. I'm drinking my tea, playing my Game Boy again because it's the only self-soothing I can do with my girlfriend in the room.
Right.
If she weren't there, I'd just be like, laptop lube. Laptop lube. This is how I don't kill people. But she's there, so I can't do that. I can guide Mario.
Mario.
When did he get the most horribly, I don't want to call it racist, but I guess voice?
Mario.
It's like if Mario were black and they just had him going, ooga booga, ooga booga booga. Like, it couldn't be more stereotypical Italian sounds coming out of his mouth.
Wait, do an impression.
No, I'm not going to do that twice.
Okay.
Oh, of Mario?
Yeah.
No, I thought you meant the other one.
No.
The show's already on dangerous ground.
Yeah.
It's me, Mario. He just sounds like that.
Oh, God. I haven't played Nintendo like if you had in so long.
They gave him a voice around, like, Mario 64 or
really?
Something like that. Yeah, he used to just be silent.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, he's Mario.
As all plumbers should be.
Yeah. Those lippy copper pipe foisters.
Yeah.
They, you know, gave him a mustache in the day, and you're like, okay, I get it. He's Italian. He has this big handlebar mustache.
Yeah.
I don't think that's offensive, but I'm not Italian.
Yeah.
And then later on, when games got sounds, when they had enough room to put voices into the games,
right.
God, if you want to know how old I am, kids, that's your answer.
There it is.
And they had enough megabit wattage where you had, it's-a me, and he's just like, whoa! And just he sounds like an Italian walking in on his wife.
I didn't know that. I haven't played Nintendo in a really long time. That's why.
Oh,
probably the last time was with you and my brother.
Like, it's all that keeps me happy right now.
Mario 3.
Yeah, just recapturing my innocence because Nintendo has no interest in making anything new anymore. They're just like, hey, remember how you played Mario Land on your Game Boy when you were 9?
Yeah.
Here's the newest one. Enjoy it, 34-year-old John. Thanks, Nintendo. My life does suck now. Thank you for taking me back to my childhood filled with potential. So violently squandered in the years since. So I'm playing this in the morning, sipping my tea, and then it's breakfast time. And in the bed and breakfast, which, by the way, you're in a house.
Yeah.
You're in a house, and as much as you've ever gone to, like, a Holiday Inn and heard couples through the walls, or, like, when I stayed at the Taj Mahal, the Trump Taj Mahal in AC, like, last summer, and I was treated to a 4 a.m. rendition of Let's Move, Bitch! By a very basso-voiced black man who screamed at his girlfriend for 20 minutes, I don't know, but let's go, bitch, over and over I guess the bitch went because I didn't hear it anymore.
Jeez.
Sounds like someone lost his paycheck and then some.
Yeah.
You could have gone with something very bigoted right there, but you didn't. Someone's learned fear behind the microphone.
Yes, exactly.
That's death, Eva. That's death. So, you really have some paper thin walls. I mean, anyone walking the floor above you, you hear like clomp, clomp, clomp.
Oh, God.
You could hear anything. So I all of a sudden was like, this is awesome. I've flown across the country and I don't think I'm going to get effed this entire vacation because my chick is 22 and still self-conscious as hell about sex.
Oh, okay.
So it pretty much needs to be in a sensory deprivation chamber. No sounds come in, no sounds go out. It's not like when you have sex with a woman in her 30s, at which point it's like, your friend's taking a crap, just draw the shower curtain and pipe me in the bathtub. God bless. You know, you chicks in your 30s, you've been around the block. In the 40s, oh my God, you've had kids at that point. You'll pull it out for a song.
That's just spread eagle.
Like nothing. You'll starfish on the floor of a bar.
No lube. Just olive oil if she has it.
Why didn't you spit on it? Don't you like me? That's sex in the 40s.
Oh, so she gets a little self-conscious. I mean,
it's like
that can be tough. I understand.
Yeah. So we go down to the breakfast where we are joined by the owner who makes an appearance. And the owner, I think his name was Daryl, which only makes me think of the Kids in the Hall sketch with Daryl.
Daryl.
So the whole time I'm just thinking, hi, Daryl, in my head. And he's just a little gay dude. And not that I'm leaping to assumptions, but I think I safely could.
Yeah.
I believe like the little brochure that comes telling the story of the Bacon Mansion that's laminated in your room.
Oh, God.
Tells about Daryl and a business partner
that
owned it together, but then the business partner moved on to other things, and now Daryl owns it all alone.
Well, anyone that likes pigs that much.
Yeah.
You know?
Into the pork.
He's into the pork.
Yeah. So Daryl's sitting there just watching us all have our stupid little muffin breakfast, and he's like, I made these muffins this morning, and they're blueberry muffins, and I used a bran mix. So we just got hot muffins.
That's it?
That's it.
No eggs, there was no fruit, there was no toast.
They make a huge point of saying, let us know if you're not going to be at breakfast this morning, even though it's just a dining room table that has the same amount of place every goddamn morning, two muffin baskets every GD morning, and then in the corner some cereals and like a bowl of fruit.
That's it? I'd be so pissed.
I was not a happy lad.
I would be so pissed.
Not a protein source to be had.
No.
Like, and I'm not saying I'm Captain Nutrition, but I know you're supposed to have like a quote unquote good fat and some protein to last you through the day.
Right.
Not this little sugary muffin bomb that's going to be out of you in 30 minutes and you'll be crashing.
Right.
So Daryl's sitting there and the first thing out of my mouth, I'm like, hey, what's up with the parking? Because we got a car. We're going to be parking the next few days.
Right.
And Daryl's like, well, you know, some of the streets, they stop patrolling at 6 p.m. So just, you know, get here after 6 and you'll be fine. And
so basically telling you just to wing it?
Like, yes. And I...
Sometimes they come by, but sometimes they don't.
I follow up with the very logical, could you share which streets, Daryl? And Daryl at that point just kind of half smiles and then walks into the kitchen and with the little door shutting behind
him. I want to punch Daryl in the face.
If it weren't a hate crime and if my girlfriend wouldn't have cried in front of me. Yeah. Yeah. So we're listening to a bunch of old people around us who are talking about how they're vacationing here, coming down, you know, coming up from San Francisco.
You or Vito.
Or they just flew in from New York and wanted to chill out for a bit. And I'm struggling to make connections with these 50-year-old people that I have zero interest in.
Right.
You have to understand who I am. When I went to Vegas, had a cousin. I still have him, I guess. He's a junkie F-up.
Okay.
I think he's still alive, though. And he was just friends with a bunch of showgirls.
Cool.
Who he brought to the table. And I sat in silence with them because, one, not particularly great at talking with strangers, like when there's no introduction. And two, they're much better to look at than actually interact with. You know,
were like, they hot?
They were topless dancers. Like, I just saw them topless 30 minutes ago. And then after the show, he's like, girls, we're going to the Hard Rock. And it's like you're staring at them in your shirt, in their shirt afterward. And you're like, oh, I feel cheated. Why are you wearing this in front of me? I just saw them.
Take that off.
Yeah. Stop being a stuck up bitch. Stop putting on airs, you see. So,
you see,
I'm just saying, when I have that in front of me, I don't really care to talk to it. Because I'm like, why? Why?
So 50-year-old people, you definitely don't want to talk to.
50-year-old men?
Yeah.
Who are like, oh, you're from the D.C. area. My boy lives in Annandale. I don't goddamn care.
Cool.
Great. Yeah, he lives in Annandale. I'm sure he's got a better job than me. And you're rich, and he's going to be rich. And someday, if I ever F up and have a kid, he'll listen to your kid talk about where his son lives. And again, everyone will be rich and the Papa Giorgios will be poor. So you know what? Burn in hell eternally. Satan laughs as you eternally rot, buddy.
You are so filled with hate right now and I love it.
So I wanted to get in the car.
And go see stuff.
Yeah. Start the day.
Do it.
I couldn't get out of there fast enough. I'm like, as soon as it's like where it just doesn't look viciously awkward.
Right.
Where, you know, mid-sentence, I'm like, hold that thought, old dude. We're leaving. Oh, yeah. You know, we make nice for 10 minutes. And my girlfriend makes me look like Sharon Stone in Casino working a room. She's a goddamn mute. God bless her. That's why I like her.
Yeah.
Like,
just shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Chinese girl walking around with her hands clasped and her feet bent. She would be around my chick and would be the chatterbox of the pair. My girlfriend does not talk. Given my mom, you can see why I would fall for that.
Oh, Maria.
Yeah. So we hit the road. I'm looking at my outline. This is the first time I'm trying to keep the days straight.
Yeah.
If I recall correctly, given I have my girlfriend with me, that's right. We hit the dope store.
Oh, okay.
Ganja Goddess.
Cool.
It was called. Yes. And
I've never been in one of those things.
I've been in, for a guy that doesn't smoke weed, I believe I've been in 2 in Seattle and 3 in Denver.
Okay.
I can tell you exactly how they're set up.
They're not in D.C. though, right?
No.
The new laws?
No, the Congress or whatever the hell. Remember, kids, the Republicans that are all about the people dictating the law for themselves, they're standing in the way of the D.C. residents who legalized pot for themselves actually having pot.
Right.
So, again, not that the Democrats aren't dirty liars, too, but if you ever buy into the whole Republican self-rule thing, you're a dunce.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Like, not that the Democrats don't lie about a billion things. You know what? Giving money to poor people is flushing it down the toilet. Let's call a spade a spade.
Or you're pouring it down their throat.
Yeah, need the money because otherwise, I mean, the Romans figured out you got to pay off the poor or else they revolt. But it doesn't help them.
No.
No one gets free money and says, I'm going to use this to do anything good with it.
Yeah.
They buy crappy food and stay fat and diabetic.
Yep.
So there's your conservative message. I can balance things out. But, yeah. So
you went to Ganja Goddess.
Ganja Goddess. And to me, there's nothing sillier than seeing a bunch of, like, weeds explained by, like, what their high does.
Right. I saw that on, like, a TV show one time. They're like, this sativa blend makes you feel...
This will make you think you're Kramer.
Yeah.
Okay, that kind of sounds fun.
You'll feel like Superman with this one.
Exactly. Like, you'll punch out windows like you're on PCP. You walk around, they have, like, the THC content listed on the
bag. Was she super into all this, or was she just
Oh, please, it's the only thing that got her wet the whole vacation. There's a bit of foreshadowing. You wonder why I'm so angry still? They had a lightsaber pipe for the Star Wars nerd pot smokers.
Okay.
Like a $100 glass blown thing that looked like a lightsaber you could take hits out of.
Oh, I know someone that would love that.
I know several people.
Yeah.
We're probably thinking of the same ones. On three. No.
On three.
Let's leave them out of
yeah,
this.
Yeah, let's. This is our time.
Exactly. Yeah. It really is. And they're.
So she's like really into like the different. I don't know. To me, I would just want to buy it and get out.
There's all kinds of stuff. Like there was little lip balm containers of what's called keef.
Yeah.
Which I guess is just like pot magic dust.
Yeah, it's the dust that comes off.
Yeah, they sold keef, bags of dope, like I said, pre-rolled J's. That was kind of fascinating.
That's kind of cool.
For like $5 to $15, depending on what type you want. You could just,
for the lazy pot smoker.
Yeah, you could just get a pre-rolled J that had a filter on the end and everything.
How much money did she spend there?
The first time?
Oh, there were multiple times.
There was a trip to Ganja Goddess. There was a trip to another crap hole on the other side of Seattle.
Okay.
And then there was a final trip to Ganja Goddess.
Okay, wow.
I want to say it was, on average, $90 each trip.
Wow. That's a lot.
That's how I view it.
Okay.
Again, if I were allowed to so openly indulge my vices... You'd be talking a whole lot of lap dances.
Yeah.
Well, depending on the city, three-ish.
Right.
Speaking of lap dances, by the way, there were tons of strip clubs next to Ganja Goddess. And I just kept commenting on that. I was like, look, live nude girls. Which, of course, my girlfriend found so funny each time. And she didn't hate me and elbow my ribs. And then, like, at the end of the vacation, I was like, why didn't we go to one of those places? And she's like, we could have. And I was like, you lying girl. Oh, I just almost said a hateful word there, but I don't think she would have been okay with that.
No?
No. I just wanted to go, and I was like, let's get a couple's lap dance, and you say I don't invest in us as a relationship.
That should be on a Hallmark card.
Yes, yeah. A couple's lap dance. The girl will pay way more attention to you. You're the cute little chick.
Yeah.
I'm the fat, ugly guy that she's sick of grinding on.
She totally would. You're right.
Yeah, she'd get all the attention, and... maybe she'd enjoy something sexually in front of me. That'd be nice.
Oh, John.
That'd be nice.
You should have just walked in while she's getting wet in the Ganja Goddess.
Well, oh, just start giving it to her on the counter?
No. Jeez. I mean, go into the...
the strip club.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hindsight.
You know, be like, I want to get a beer. Go in there and
I mean,
sit.
It was 10 a.m., so it might, what did Daryl in the office say? Dude, it's the morning shift at a strip club.
Oh,
you'll
right.
See things you can't unsee.
You'll see things you can't unsee.
I'm not saying that's entirely legit.
Yeah.
I'm going to pretend that the morning shift is filled with girls who go to Seattle University.
Right.
And they just want to squeeze in a couple rounds on the pole.
Yeah.
Before that afternoon class.
Before that expensive book's coming up.
Yeah.
I feel like the strippers at a Seattle strip club would be a little hotter daytime than Scranton, PA, but...
Yeah, I would picture... I mean, if we're being honest, for the entirety of the vacation, and I never put this together until right now, I saw maybe like 2 to 3 women I was sexually attracted to.
Oh, okay.
Like, there's just a lot, and they were kind of my type, like, or at least one type I'm cool with. I'm cool with a lot of types, but like the angry-looking white broad with some ink on them.
Okay.
Like, I can work with that if they're cute. They just... really weren't cute. There weren't a lot of
attractive people.
Girls. Yeah, it's weird now that I think about it.
Hmm.
Like a couple cute ones worked at the B&B when Daryl checked out after his one day of work.
Daryl.
Yeah, so I think my chick picked up on the fact that I kind of wanted to lay stones to both of the broads that were working there.
She'd get a little pissed.
Like, what do you want?
Right.
What do you want?
Right.
You don't take care of a man. His eyes look elsewhere.
Yeah.
This is just angry ramblings now.
It really is.
I'm this close to just Limbaugh behind a gold-plated microphone.
I'm like searching around for something I can protect myself
with. Yeah, exactly. You're like, is there a random crowbar in case this predator leaps?
At least I'm closest to the door.
Yeah, it was... So we drive to Ganja Goddess and go by these strip clubs. Then we go back... and she smokes her first dubage
mm-hmm.
as I play more Game Boy. And this is the leitmotif, the leitmotif, however you pronounce it, for the rest of the trip.
Okay.
Just me playing Game Boy as she goes out to the balcony from the room and smokes weed by herself.
Did you guys go sightseeing or anything?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We put a lot of miles on the car.
Well, that's good. You saw some stuff.
I got a car that had 150 miles on it when mm-hmm. we rented it. I turned it in with 1,000.
Oh, wow.
And this was over, what, 3 full days?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we beat the hell out of that thing. But
I'm surprised you didn't walk around more.
That was the one. That, I mean, something had to give, man. Something had to give. I'll give you the rest of the highlights.
Yeah.
Let's see. I found a Jack in the Box right next to Ganja Goddess. So that's what I was fired up about.
Restaurant.
Yeah, Jack in the Box restaurant with its horrific, terrifying mascot. That weird clown person.
I've never been to one.
Oh, every time I'm on the West Coast, I find an excuse to try the fast food there.
Okay.
And probably my biggest regret of the Seattle trip, other than the fact my WIC wasn't worked. oh, God. I just need to go home and, like, pound off. Like,
just do it.
So, I will. I'm just so angry. I'm just so full of anger still.
That'll make you really happy.
Does it?
I don't know.
I feel like the self-aware addict where my fix doesn't make me happy anymore. And it doesn't really take away my pain, but I don't know any better.
Right.
So I continue to do it. I'm like, well, I'm never going to feel real happiness, but this used to work.
Yeah.
This used to be it.
Yeah. When I started, this was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just some takeaways from the whole city.
Jack in the Box.
Yeah, we did the Jack in the Box, and I ate that. And, oh, yeah, that was the capper. For the first night, I woke up 3 hours after passing out, had horrific diarrhea. 2 weeks after being, like, sick as hell, I'm waking up like, not again!
Why?
Thankfully, it was just the Jack in the Box because she didn't have any and was sleeping perfectly. I'm crapping my lungs out for 20 minutes, and then I stay up and play more Mario.
It's Mario.
It's me, Mario. Mario 3DS Land.
Did she hear you pooping?
Papa, do you hear me pooping? I also
do you hear me pooping?
I also imagine that to the tune of Meg Trainor's Lips Are Moving. You hear me pooping? You hear me pooping?
Did you run the water? Do you get, like, self-conscious?
Yes.
You do?
Oh, yeah. She does not do that, at least for the urinating. And so I've actually managed to memorize her, like, how her urinating sounds. It starts off like a normal tinkle, and then there's, like, shh for about 10 seconds. Like, it sounds like a tomcat spraying a fence post, and then it goes back to a normal tinkle at the end. Me, I march in, I turn on the water and the fan.
Really?
Yes, and I hum God Bless America. That part was a joke.
Okay.
But the other stuff, yeah, I don't want anyone who's, like, in theory going to touch me down yon to hear all that. Like, you need to preserve some of the sexy mystery. I'm sorry. You just do. You don't need to hear.
You're so weird.
You enjoy hamburgers, right? You eat
Absolutely.
Meat. Would you enjoy a hamburger if they marched the cow to your table, they pulled out a samurai sword, took off its head, used said sword to get a chunk of meat off it right in front of you as the corpse still kind of twitched because it's got some neurons firing, and then they're like, we'll be back in a jiff with your burger.
I'm thinking about it. I'd probably still eat a burger.
You would, but yeah. It wouldn't be as good a burger.
No, it wouldn't be.
Well, that's how I feel about sex.
Bovine University.
Yeah. All that tripe. You know how it gets. You know what I'm doing.
I know.
You know I poo. But you don't need to associate my dongular area with activities outside of it standing up and giving it to you.
Why do we always wind up talking about poop?
Because it's funny.
It is funny.
Come on. You're a smart girl.
I know.
We don't need to draw you a Venn diagram. You can figure it out. But
So water's running. Oh, Jack in the Box out.
Yeah, but when I'm done and everything's really clean, I do march to bed and I'm just like, I just had really horrible diarrhea. And she, like, the next morning, she was like, why did you wake me up telling me that? First, I thought I woke her up just running to the bathroom five times, but apparently not. But I was also saying it in case I wanted it as a get-out-of-jail-free card for the next day.
For the next ganja goddess visit
for
day.
For the next ganja goddess visit. So the next day, that was my trip to see my buddy Shane, who lives in Portland.
Cool.
Which is 3 hours away.
Is he a Chantilly guy?
Yeah, he is. And he just randomly moved
Shane
to Portland.
Who? Do I know him?
Shane Daffron.
Tony Daffron's?
No, he's
no
got
relation?
A brother, Kenny.
Okay.
And Shane lives in Portland, and I was like, while he's driving distance, what the hell?
Nice.
And my chick was hell-bent on seeing Portland, because she's like, I want to see things. So we drive to Portland, which looks like, again, kind of like Seattle, just city on a hill, except there's also a grunginess, like
okay.
a bit of Richmond to it.
Right.
And we go there, and we drive back. It took the better chunk of a day, as one would imagine. 6 hours driving round trip, and
mm-hmm.
3 hours with your buddy. At this point, I'm noticing whenever we're driving around Seattle, everyone has a dog.
Aww.
Everyone. And I guess because, again, it's so liberal, there's a lot of that. What is it that Obama has? The Portuguese water dog?
Yeah. Those are kind of weird looking.
They're ugly as hell.
Yeah. I don't like them.
They look like a tampon that someone stepped on and then painted a dog's face
on it. A used tampon.
Yeah. Just all big and
with
puffy.
Cleat marks.
Yes. That is, they are disgusting dogs. There's
yeah.
nothing weird about them. They're just ugly as S. But because Obama has one, they were maybe every 10th dog. Was a
really?
Portuguese water, whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah.
And
so
there
annoying.
Were a lot because, again, everyone had dogs. Like, anyone who was part of the elite, in quotation marks, just had dogs.
Right.
It was bizarre. I mean, maybe that's a city thing that I've just kind
of
missed out on.
I know, there's a lot of dogs in New York.
Everyone.
Yeah. It's because we're all lonely there.
I guess. That's all you can afford. You can't have kids.
No.
Given the rent.
Yeah.
You can have a dog.
Given the rent. Like how you said
too
that.
Too damn high.
I met that guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he as eloquent regarding other subject matter?
Not really. He was just...
Really?
He was just really excited that we, like, people recognized him and wanted to take pictures with him. He was kind of wandering around the Lower East Side.
And this is why the Homer couldn't have written the Iliad. he wasn't able to wax poetic about other things. So
no.
Shocked. So shocked. Yeah, the rest of the trip was noticing that everyone seemed rich. Either
okay.
they were, like, annoying little, we're nonconformist by looking like each other types.
Right.
There was, like, the grungy, heavily tattooed type.
Love
and then
that.
The other pores were the it's 1993 types again.
Mm-hmm. The Eddie Vedders.
The Eddie Vedders. And it sounds like the good name for a doo-wop band.
Yeah. Introducing.
Yeah. The Eddie Vedders, and they're all in their little smart coats. I just want to sing that crap.
Yeah. That's the rest of the show.
Yeah.
I love your sing face. It's so funny.
It's just a smile with pain.
Yeah. But you always have your eyes closed because you're so into it.
Well, I gotta feel it.
Yeah, you gotta feel it.
I learned that from ex-Tina. So there's a bunch of people with dogs.
Tattoos.
Tattoos.
Beards, I'm sure.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The Eddie Vedders all had just flannel and beards.
Yeah.
Like, they were bringing back what happened 20 years ago.
$50 flannels, you know, that were meant.
Of course.
Yeah, that were meant
designer
to look.
Designer flannels.
Yeah. It's like New York.
And there's an odd kind of contrast in the city where even if it's not the most expensive real estate, it feels like almost like the Sumer and Babylonia, as old as civilization gets, rich people,
mm-hmm.
because they're on the top of a hill.
Oh.
It's like hilly as San Francisco. You're actually looking up a hill
the rich people.
At a house bigger than yours. Yeah, like... You know how 2,000 years ago it was set up that way so they could take their poo and piss bucket after night and just dump it down and be like, deal with that, you poor sons of bitches. But it's still like that. No one's poor or on the top of the hill.
Yeah.
We're still this removed from monkeys
yeah.
at the end of the day. We have our little Apple tablets that we stare at, But if you have money, you still want a house that looks down on everyone who has less money than you.
You're like the Grinch.
You can imagine you're as advanced as you want as you smoke your legal dope and vote blue. You just want to look down on the poor people below you.
Yep. That was amazing.
Instincts die hard.
Yes, they do.
So it even if it wasn't, I'm sure D.C. is much more financially demanding than Seattle.
Oh, I'm sure.
Even if that's the case, Seattle made you feel poor. Made you feel much
poorer. I always
poorer.
Feel poor, so.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Morally so, financially so, pretty much in everything.
Yeah.
I don't feel fat poor. That's it. I'm rich in fats. If we ever landed in the Andes, I would be the lord of that, toot sweet. As everyone around me starved to death, and I would just be like, my pants aren't as snug.
Never had a pair of pants fit me so well in my life.
Yeah, day 40, I'd just be like, I can wear my fancy belt again.
I'm on the original notches.
Damn it, you beat me to it. So that was Seattle. My only things that I wanted to see while out there, we visited the original Costco in Kirkland. If you've ever wondered why the Costco brand is called Kirkland, it's because I believe it started in Kirkland, Washington.
Now I get why you went to the Costco.
Yeah, because I'm like, I love Costco. I want to tell people I shopped at the original Costco.
I didn't know it started out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did that. Mm-hmm. And it looks like every other Costco. Like they, like the same way like Ted Bundy only murdered brunettes of a certain age with a certain hair length.
Yeah.
That was Costco. Costco's just like, we're going to pick a warehouse and we're going to paint it white. And we're going to like serve the same kind of beef barbecue on top of some coleslaw this year. It was everything.
Yeah.
It was every Costco you've ever been to was that one. So that was a bit of a disappointment.
But the original.
I have shopped at the original Costco and made a purchase there.
Good.
I still have the receipt.
Awesome.
I can't talk about that purchase.
Nope.
For legal reasons. Not to tease the audience. Okay, it's entirely to tease you. But, yeah, we'll leave that at that. Eva knows the whole story.
Titular.
Yeah. And I told her beforehand there were two stories from the weekend that weren't getting told on air. And that tied into one of them.
Yep.
I saw Nintendo of America's headquarters.
Oh.
Which was about 6 miles from the original Costco.
Okay. Your first hard-on of the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. The only thing that gave me sexual pleasure over the weekend. My trip to Nintendo, and I posed next to the sign. I walked in the lobby. They apparently aren't doing tours anymore, which broke my heart.
Aww.
Because I was like, that's the one thing I would want to do out here.
Right.
And I'm not saying that to be like, I didn't enjoy the Seattle experience. I, much like Travis Bickle in Taxi Driver, don't want to interact with people. I want to observe them and view myself as better than them, but I'm better than nobody. So I have to be removed from them and inside a car to believe that. So me driving around Seattle and driving down to Portland was perfect because I get to watch and judge and not interact with and have
two of my favorite things,
have my own inadequacies quickly and thoroughly shoved in my face.
Right.
We drive to Nintendo of America. I hop out. I pose with the sign. I run in the lobby. They have huge screens that have pictures of Donkey Kong and crap on them.
Cool.
And then the other screen was like an ad for the new Fire Emblem. Not Fire Emblem. Monster Hunter 3D or some junk. I don't know. But I was just watching these things. And then like someone actually comes to the front desk. And I'm just like, and run back to the car. Like I was doing something illegal. Even though I'm just chilling in a building that like probably gets like 50 assholes a day walking in it. Weirdly enough,
laughing like the Duck Hunt dog.
Yeah. Weirdly enough, Microsoft's headquarters walking distance from Nintendo's.
Oh, that's cool.
Maybe a quarter mile. So I saw that while driving to see Nintendo's because we took the wrong turn, and I'm like, that worked out well.
That's
I wouldn't
cool.
have known that otherwise.
My buddy Dave works for them out there.
Screw Dave and his successes. That was quick, but I meant it.
We hope you're listening.
Yeah. Keep on listening if you like it. It just blew my mind, though, that these three stores that have such import in
we're
our
all
country
near
were
each
just
other.
Next to each other. I think within 20 minutes was Wizards of the Coast that makes Magic the Gathering, but they don't let you in either.
Oh, Magic the game? Like the cards?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like their headquarters was in, not Redmond, which had Nintendo, but
this is Seattle, right? Not Portland.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. This is all still Seattle.
Okay.
Like, everything is based around Seattle. Weirdly enough, if you want your geography lesson of the day, Portland is 10 minutes tops over the border into Oregon.
Okay.
Like, our entire trip to Portland was in Washington, and then you go over one bridge, and it's like, welcome to Oregon! Yeah. Then you see Portland on the horizon.
Cool.
So it's almost a Washington city unto itself.
Cool.
That was the first verbal misstep the entire episode. A completely unnecessary unto itself. What is it? Under the Roman Empire, you dumb bag of S? You fat tits McGillicuddy.
Who are you talking to, me or you?
Yeah, I don't know. We could both of us just put our index fingers under our sweaty little underbosoms and then just flick them up.
But you got to take a pencil and like lift one up.
Oh, God.
And then put it down.
You could hide a ballpark hot dog under mine.
I could too. A big bite from 7-Eleven, the big fat ones.
throw a taquito under there for good measure. I'll keep them both warm.
But that was, can't you guys eat some hot dogs?
That was the trip. We drove out to some park a couple hours away.
Cool.
And walked around for, without exaggeration, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And then
saw the big, like, trees. Oh, they have really...
This was Yakima Valley.
Okay.
So it was actually just looking down at some stupid valley. It was just... It's cool seeing terrain. I don't know. Like, the one thing I will say about this place compared to Virginia, it's awesome and impressive seeing mountains on the horizon.
It's cool.
Where you look at, like, a snow-covered peak, and you're like, okay, the ancient Greeks weren't completely stupid for thinking a thunder god lived on that thing.
Right.
That's how alien and imposing a mountain looks like. You're like, something cool's happening at the top of that.
Yeah,
all
a
right.
Little more impressive than the Blue Ridge as you
come up
Route 50.
Oh, God. Mountains. Like, you could be at the foot of one of the Blue Ridge Mountains and be like, hold on, one more Marlboro, and be at the top of it 25 minutes later. I am a natural man.
My mom would pipe in right now and be like, that mountain range is much older than the Rockies.
For some reason, everyone knows that.
Yeah.
And thinks they're such a... My girlfriend busted that out, too. She's like,
everyone says it.
Dirty little worn-down foothills. And I'm like, yes, because they're older. And she's like, I know. That's why I called them eroded. And we all felt so smart.
We're from the East Coast.
So that was the trip. Seeing a lot of parks that we're going to be healthy hiking couple as soon as we get back. We live in the midst of a million parks. There's Great Falls.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of stuff within an hour. We fly to Seattle, drive 2 hours to one park, like 45 minutes to another one, and do more hiking than we've done in the 6 months since we hiked while we were in Denver.
Right.
And of course, we're just having to bold-faced lie to each other because what else keeps a relationship going? It's like, yeah, we'll get back. We'll continue all this. We'll get in such good shape. I love you too, babe.
Supporting each other's pathetic little thoughts and dreams.
Oh, God.
That's the worst.
Wanting to believe you're anything better than a slug.
Did you read my poem? It was wonderful.
Yeah, and...
Publish worthy.
Yeah, we flew back. The last night at the Bacon Mansion, I landed the king spot in the U, the only one that would allow you to pull out in the morning. We had to get home by like 7:30 at night.
Yeah.
And even then, the entire night, I was waking up every 2 hours because I had nightmares that someone parked in front of it and boxed us in before the plane the next day.
Right.
And that was my Seattle trip.
Okay.
In a nutshell. How about you?
What did I do over the weekend?
Yeah, how you
You know what
been,
I did?
Kid?
I binge-watched.
Binge, you betch.
I binged Kimmy Schmidt.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah.
That's
all I did this weekend.
Yeah, let's pretend that we didn't discuss that before. Wait, how did I have that ready?
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm just that quick on the type. I don't know if we prepped or anything.
Yeah, that's all I did. Literally.
That is your theme song for Netflix's Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. The latest effort from Tina Fey and roughly 18 other executive producers, if you watch those ending credits. But it's kind of your first taste of 30 Rock-esque humor.
Absolutely.
Since then. The day it came out, I think it was last Saturday, I watched a bunch of it. And then I left my girlfriend's house, and I lied and I said I watched one more. But I watched everything except the finale, so I would be... genuinely surprised if there was a twist ending, because I'm not that good an actor.
Right.
So if like it ended with Kimmy being like, F the world, and going out Tupac style, guns a-blazing, I'd be like, I did not see that coming.
Right.
But I watched everything but...
You had to lie to the GF.
Yeah, and then I pretended I hadn't seen it. So
it's such a relationship thing.
Yes, and every episode from the one we watched together was starting during the end credits as the show progressed, because I'd watched everything.
Yeah.
So I had to, like, every time the show was ending, I had to be like, is that a blue jay at the window? Sing your song, little guy. And she'd look up, and I'd start the next one and scroll it back. And
do you ever just whip out your Johnson to distract her?
She'd look right past that. She'd look right past that. It would just have been the 1,000th dog on a Seattle street. That's how much attention my dick would have gotten.
1,000th water husky, whatever they're called.
Oh, yeah. Portuguese water dog.
Ugh. Gross.
Nah, at this point, my dick is a little orphan with an empty bowl going, please, sir.
Can I have some more?
I have some sexual attention.
Touch me, please.
I've been ever so good, boy.
Ever so good.
So you liked Kimmy Schmidt? You must have liked it if you watched it.
It's one of those shows that I feel you have to be in the mood to laugh. Like you can't toss it on and it's going to change your mood, which, like, to me, like a true creme de la creme comedy. I can be like, hey, I just went to Seattle for 5 days and my girlfriend never effed me, hypothetically.
Mm-hmm.
And I can toss that on and it makes the pain go away.
MASH.
Yeah.
Cheers. Yeah. Cheers for me.
Actually, neither of those shows, because they feature guys who get some.
Oh, yeah.
Like Alan Alda's like all up in the nurses.
Yeah.
And maybe even banging the guys while they're still under from surgery.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
And dancing.
Hawkeye swings.
Yeah.
And yeah,
Sam Mayday Malone.
Sam Mayday Malone was just pasting it left and right.
He was.
Oh my God, he predated AIDS.
Yeah. Well, that was actually the alternate ending that they never released.
Oh, does he sneeze and he looks down and there's blood on the handkerchief
everywhere. Sam Mayday Malone, the first famous sports icon from Boston to die of AIDS.
Yeah, his nickname goes from Mayday to 2T cell because they catch it at such an advanced stage. He just looks like Jeff Goldblum in the middle of that Brundlefly transition.
No, he did. And then he came out with Becker, and that was actually, he looked like him and Becker, losing his hair, getting thin.
Just pulling out his teeth in the mirror one day.
covered in hives.
Killing a monkey hybrid in the director's cut. Now we're going deep.
Yeah, you're right. You kind of have to be in the mood for a chipper comedy.
Yeah, because if you're in a sour mood and it's just trying to be all lighthearted.
I know what you mean.
I mean,
I loved it, though.
I loved it when things were happy in my life. And then a week later, as things were very unhappy and when we watched it, I was not laughing much.
Yeah, you were just angry.
Just angry.
Yeah.
Just like, God damn you, John Hamm. I know you have a big one, and you're tall and rugged looking, and every chick would F you.
Oh, my God. He's just so sexy.
I just hate you.
He's so sexy.
Ellie Kemper or whatever her name is. I'm like, hey, you think you're hot stuff not having to pull him out for a role, don't you?
She probably does. Because she doesn't do film. No one shows boobs on TV. Unless it's HBO.
Yeah.
You know, she's not going to be on HBO or Showtime. They don't do comedies like that. She's good at what she does. She's good at that, like, chipper Girl Scout, I'm funny and I'm so ditzy, but it's cute kind of thing.
Yeah.
I enjoy her.
She's screwable.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Oh, my brother's way into her. Like, he's seen her a couple random things, and he's always just like, who's that enchantress?
She's innocent.
I mean, yeah.
Like a young puppy.
I'd, you know, to quote the bard, I'd go up in it, but... Not
I think she's actually cuter in Kimmy Schmidt than she was on The Office, because I rewatched a little bit of The Office after I watched Kimmy Schmidt, and the lighting on The Office was so bad.
They're under
fluorescent lights, you know, because it's an office.
Yeah.
But she was. It made me miss New York for sure.
What did Ellie the
just Ellie Kemper, and watching her, you know, be a ditz walking around New York. I felt 19 again.
Oh,
befriending a gay black man.
My memories of New York are I had an ex that went to school in St. John's. And yeah. I used to visit her in Jamaica, Queens, that the rappers rapped about, and I would walk around the streets. I'm like, you pussies think this is hard?
Right.
You
thought you were in Coming to America?
Oh, it just seems so nice.
My son works.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Akeem. That's my James Earl Jones.
Your King Joffy Jar.
Yeah. Akeem.
Akeem.
Akeem. My son works.
You're making me want to go so deep on Conan references right now, because my James Earl Jones are all him as Thulsa Doom, the antagonist of Conan. Thorgrim is beside himself with grief. As Sven Ole Rad, the bodybuilder friend of Arnold Schwarzenegger, in his weird Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden wig, is just bent down.
You just said Conan, and I just thought Conan O'Brien.
No, Conan.
Yeah,
you're right.
Conan.
Conan makes you pronounce it as Conan. No, it's Conan.
The barbarian. Okay, I got it.
Come to me. Come to me, my child.
And come to me.
Oh, God. It's so... That is the Riddle of Steel.
I haven't seen that movie in so long.
God, you have to watch it. I used to watch, if you want to hear what a tool I was, I used to listen to the Conan soundtrack and then go lift. I put up a lot.
I thought you were
going to
say masturbate.
Yeah, yeah. I will be as proud. This is the Riddle of Steel's answer. The soundtrack hits you like a Viagra. No. It's
Akeem. That's all I know.
I'm trying to remember more from Coming to America. It's like
I love that movie.
No, I will
see
not.
See me
now. Okay.
See me.
See me.
That was Arsenio Hall, right? See me.
I mean, the one thing in retrospect you remember about Coming to America, it's the first one where Eddie Murphy played five roles.
Oh, is that the first movie?
Yes. And so at the time, exactly, you're like, how funny and silly is this? And you look back at the rest of his career and you're like, oh, I wish I could have like broken that light bulb when it went off over his head. And he's like, I can play more than one. Stop right there.
Stop.
This is a dangerous path you're treading, young
maybe,
man.
Maybe you should be a member of the 33 Club.
Yeah.
Go out. Go out, guns blazing.
He needed to be like in the 24 Club. You know, he was
so good.
I think he was like 19 for Beverly Hills Cop.
Really?
He was so goddamn young for that movie.
I didn't realize he was that young.
No, he was maybe 19 for 48 Hours, and was probably like 21 for Beverly Hills Cop.
How old was he when he was on SNL?
18, I think.
Wow.
I mean, he had a stand-up career that started at like 15 or 16. He was on SNL at 18. He's like as close as comedy will get to a Michael Jackson in terms of a weird, just being as big as the world as young as it gets.
Wow.
Like, I don't know.
I didn't realize he was that young in Beverly Hills Cop.
And what's more is because he was so huge. And I don't know if it's because he was like a black dude or something. So like white America wasn't like, oh, he's a young kid. You know, he just seemed like an adult.
Yeah, that's why I'm shocked.
He was 21.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine being 21 and having that level of fame?
Well, I did.
Well played.
Well played. I did. And I, you know. Now I'm here.
Eva Crixion is the podcast name of Tara Reid.
I'm actually Kathleen Turner.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, that was when she was on Friends and had to play a chick that became a dude.
That was actually funny, though.
You're like, what is it like when you know that you've been robbed of all sex appeal? When you could say you have a dick and no one bats an eye. No. When kids who didn't know you from 15 years ago are like, where did they find this transgendered individual?
Good for the trans community.
Yeah. They finally got one on a comedy, a mainstream comedy.
You know what I saw her on in Broadway was, and she was perfect for it, was Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Oh, who would she play? George?
She played who Elizabeth Taylor played.
Martha.
Yeah,
that
Martha.
Was the whole joke. It was George and Martha.
Yeah, George and Martha. Braying at her Bill Irwin played her husband, the little twerp.
Oh, God. You watch that movie, and masterpiece, by the way.
Oh, masterpiece. That's what my marriage will probably end up like if I ever get married.
Just joking about a kid you never had or a kid that died. I don't know if we ever got to the bottom.
Drinking yourself
playing
to death.
Playing head games with the young couple on campus.
Yeah.
God.
If I ever get married, that
Liz Taylor's acting was so overrated in that. There, I'll say it. I think everyone wanted to give her credit because she was just like the pretty piece of ass, and it's like, look, she isn't trying to look like a 10 on camera. But if her acting wasn't really that good in it.
It was very styled.
Yes.
I mean, I can get very like dorky actor right now and talk about it. Like, she was amazing in that movie, but it was very styled. I see what you mean.
Are you saying it wasn't method?
No, not like that. It kind of like... Kind of like, you know how Diane Keaton is always kind of like kooky, you know? I just can't, like, she's very mannered.
Yes.
Everything's very mannery, but people think it's amazing because.
See, I hate that because
I do too.
It's the same thing when a writer writes themselves in everything. I'm like, you've done nothing other than write a diary and change the name.
Yeah.
Lena Dunham.
Like Lena Dunham. yes. Jinx. But Diane Keaton. You know that all this, oh my God, very, you know,
like
that's
that
all,
neurotic fellow in all the Woodsy Allen films.
Yeah. All the Woodsy Allen. That's all planned, though. You know that that's not organic, any of the stuff she's doing. And that's what I think Liz Taylor was. I mean,
you don't think that's just Diane Keaton being Diane Keaton? That's what I pictured. She's just some scatterbrained dumb bitch.
No, I think she's
misogynist of the year.
Yeah. I think she's smart enough to know that that comes across as natural. But anyone that's studied acting knows that it doesn't.
Oh.
I'm getting really dorky right now.
No, it's like me talking about radio, except yours is an actual talent.
Oh.
And I'm like, I brought coffee to the on-air personalities and learned how many sugars they wanted.
Are there any, like, big radio guys now, though? I mean, we got Stern still. Does he work anymore?
3 days a week.
That's it?
During the summer. He's maybe twice a month or something.
I have buddies that are really into Corolla, Adam Carolla's.
In terms of a youthful passion for it, I would say if we're talking guy talk, it's Rogan and Corolla. It's the podcasters.
Yeah.
And then it's the Nerdist if you like dick. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. If you're into Chris Hardwick, you like boys.
You like men. And then there's Opie and Anthony.
There was.
Oh, they're not on anymore.
Well, Anthony got S-canned because he had an encounter with a woman of color on the street and said some very offensive things of her coming from a racial place on Twitter. And I think Slate wrote about it. I could be wrong. Maybe it was Gawker. Gawker, probably.
Okay.
And SiriusXM, you know how there's just like the tempest in a teapot controversy of the week.
Right.
Let's be honest. I don't even think it got mainstream press. Gawker wrote about it in Rolling Stone. They're like, how offensive that Anthony said that. And Sirius was
why
just
do we
like,
have to be so politically correct?
Yeah, and Sirius was just like, okay, we'll fire him, which is awesome because guess what? Everyone who was up in arms about it didn't listen to the goddamn show to begin with.
Right.
And they would have forgotten about it in 3 days had you just sat pat.
Jesus.
And instead they axed him and the show became Opie with Jim Norton, who was their third mic.
I like him.
Yeah, but I mean
he's on Louis, right?
Yes.
Occasionally.
Yeah. The dynamic to me changed horribly though.
He looks like an angry little penis. Like just a really angry one. You know?
An angry but 4-inch penis.
Yeah, like an angry chode.
That's pretty beautifully put.
Thank
you. Not gonna lie.
Thank you.
Dylan Thomas would have been proud to come up with that. Yeah.
Before or after he drank himself to death.
Hey, after death, he'd be happy to come up with hey, I'm breathing. What the hell? Yeah. So the show, I don't know. I don't really listen anymore. I listen to Ron and Fez, but these were all acts that were established while on terrestrial radio. Terrestrial radio makes no one in terms of the guy talk world anymore.
Okay.
Because it got so afraid of getting sued that everything became sports talk because your sports talk acts couldn't really get in trouble. You know, like, how are you going to transition from Ray Rice punching his bitch to, well, that's probably as much trouble
why did
as
I laugh? Why did I laugh at that when you said it? I was like,
no.
What did she do?
Yeah, so there's that, but everything became sports talk, and it's all, for the most part, unless you're on an ESPN nationally syndicated show, it's all local because most people want to hear, like in D.C., what the Redskins are doing. No one's going to give a crap about how the 49ers have had the worst goddamn offseason in the history of football this year. I mean, it's funny for a 15-minute segment, but that's why the talent can't
it's
be put on.
Funny for a Redskins fan.
Yeah. Someone is at worst
for
once.
Yeah, someone worse.
Yeah, but that's why you can't make that a national brand.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, if you know the sports junkies who are on in JFK.
Right.
Like, their whole appeal is they're from Maryland. And they talk about regional stuff where they grew up. And, I mean, there are times, I think, in their negotiations, they're like, we're going to take it to Sirius. Really, guys? Because it ain't going to play.
Yeah.
Like, no one's going to have an interest outside of the D.C. area when you just reference all these, you know, like, hurting only Maryland or whatever the hell you want to call it.
Right.
So that's where radio is. It's dying. It's dead. That's why I punched out, despite working really hard to get a shred of mic time.
Right.
I was like, I see the writing on the wall here. It, like, if I'm going to go through such crappy pay and a business where it's so hard to succeed, I want it to be a business where if you do succeed...
Yeah, you get a lot of money.
You make the hell out of it.
Yeah.
Rather than like, good, I'm up to a 60K paycheck and I could get fired at any time. Oh, yay.
I wouldn't mind a 60 paycheck.
No, me neither. I mean, the sword of Damocles over you the entire time.
Right.
Like Mr. Burns holding a dagger over a pig. That's how I know that term. That part would get old.
Yeah.
But 60K is not bad for getting on air. And
right.
In theory, at least getting to infuse the sports talk with a bit of your personality. That's not bad. I'd probably go apes having to talk about sports I didn't care for. I mean, like, back when I did the football show with Howard, we'd come in and summarize the entire football world in 1 hour.
Right.
And I was like, I feel we got to all the important crap. Like, I would go nuts doing a four-hour show where it's like, coming back, your thoughts on the latest Skins roster moves. And then you just have to take calls. Ah, I hate callers.
Yeah, you do hate calls.
I'm crappy enough behind the microphone. That asshole who hasn't put in the time that I have, he gets to talk? Not on my show, bitch.
You do hate calls.
Oh, they suck.
I always used to threaten to call in, remember? And you were like, I will hang up on you.
Oh, I mean, back when I actually had the live show here and we didn't pre-record.
Yeah.
Now that I've moved away from playing any sound bites and taking any calls, and the show flows like a smoothie dump. Like you had spinach and kale the day before. It just comes out with a bang and one wipe.
Oh, the one wipe.
No grunting like a brat poo. No siree.
Why is that making me want a bratwurst right now?
It's grease.
A brat poo.
Brat poo.
Is that what you meant?
That's the name of my punk band, Brat Poo.
Hey, we're Brat Poo. We wear flannel. We're a Seattle grunge band.
Yeah, we have our bandanas. We look like dogs come to life. We look like animals.
Animalia.
Well, I guess we can call it a show
if you
want. I wish I had the foresight to do that. Let me see if I have my shows that I... Oh, member data. Hold on.
Oh!
I might be able to use the outro music.
If they could see me now.
Pad better. Talk more.
That little gang of mine.
Hold on. I think we got it. Come on.
What is your shirt? Looks like a turd.
It's a domo.
What's a domo?
It's some Japanese thing, but it's funny looking.
And it is funny looking.
I got this shirt at an Old Navy for $4. I went in to do some locksmith work, and I moved past the sale rack, and I saw a bunch of T-shirts for $4. And I was like, time for Pappy to get a new wardrobe.
Cha-ching!
And I got shirts in peach and blue, a couple in green, one in gray, the same company. And then they had a domo shirt. I'm like, that's going to be my silly one. That's my snazzy bit of flair.
Looks like Kid Robot.
What the hell's a Kid Robot?
It's just this company in Japan. They sell, like, collectible little figurines.
It's really called Kid Robot?
It's called Kid Robot. My ex-boyfriend was really into it. He had them all over the apartment.
Oh, so you were into a weird guy.
He was cool. We're still friends.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We're still buddies.
Really?
I mean, I run into him every once in a while in New York. There's always pleasantries exchanged.
Do you ask him about the latest Kid Robots?
No, I don't. And he let me keep one. I have his I have his Geisha Kid Robot.
You know what that meant to him.
What? That I was his Geisha prize?
I'm just saying, if you're collecting crap, maybe he had a million of them. That would be like me giving a girl a Skylander, but maybe it's one I have like 18 of. like a Series 1 Gil Grunt. Who gives a crap about that? Everyone's got that. You can give it to a bitch and she thinks she just got the world. Why am I saying bitch? I'm just angry.
You are.
I didn't even get...
I'm writing you a prescription.
Oh, God.
You need to eat some bad food and go home and yank one out.
Furiously.
Just an angry one.
All of my frustrations.
Yeah, and then play with your cats.
Yeah, take the time to wash my hands betwixt, but then I'll pet the cats.
Have them lick them off with their
with
their sandpaper tongues.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry.
The KY would get their tummies upset.
Aww.
All right. This was Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined by the lovely and talented Eva Krikshen.
Hello.
If you want to listen to the show, inpapasbasement.com is the website that has every episode we've ever done. But that really doesn't help us at all. So instead, if you do iTunes, subscribe to the show, rate the show, leave a review.
Mm-hmm.
I understand how goddamn hard it is to figure out how to do that on any iDevice. I think you might have to leave reviews from a computer, even though who uses a computer anymore?
No one.
But every 2 months or so, I look up my dumb show on the podcast app on my iPhone. I don't think there's a way to leave a review. If you like the show, go that extra mile, you lazy piece of crap. Seriously, you just got 2 hours of entertainment. Leave the goddamn review and talk to your friends about the show so I can berate them once they get into it. Make them feel like a nothing for wasting their time with this drivel. Is it drivel? I said drivel.
I think it's drivel.
I think it's drivel, yeah. Too. I'm not only mad, I'm stupid.
Yeah.
You've got a dumb man berating you. So what's wrong with
home.
You? At Papa's Basement on Twitter, if you want to get a hold of us. Also use the Stitcher app if you have the Android device thing going on, because you're poor and foreign and a dork.
Uh-huh.
Do the Stitcher review as well. And again, tell your friends. That's all I ask. Take this show and post it on the wall of like anyone you think would get into it. Why do I have to explain that? That's how you can tell when something's going to go viral, when you have to tell people to share it, because that's how Chocolate Rain worked.
Oh, God.
That guy walked and talked to, 50,000 people, and was like, share this vid.
Chocolate Rain.
Oh, wow, we talked through the end of Surf Rider. Luckily, I can do this. So organic.
Yeah.
Didn't miss a beat. Yeah, facebook.com/papasbasement. I haven't been posting much on there because Facebook's ability to reach people sucks, and it shows 1 in 100 people, and I've been unfollowed by, I think, 5 people in the last week or so. So, good on me, you fickle sons of bitches. I hate you all. And, yeah, share the show. It helps much more if you get it via the podcast apps, but I know all of you assholes just go to the website. All right, we're out of here.
Home free, school's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about, nothing to critique. Great show, great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way.